Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. It's on at 9 o'clock if anybody's interested. At MSNBC.
What's the program?
It's called the Joe Scarborough Show. He's an ex-congressman.
Where are you at, Gary? I'm a little goofy right now.
Are they going to
right
come
now?
No, I have to go to some studio downtown and it's live, you know, satellite feed. No, I just listen, guys. It's going to be live on television. I'm going down to a studio downtown where they're yet to tell us, and so it'll be satellited to wherever, and then it'll be like live.
When is it?
Who is it?
NBC? 9 o'clock tonight.
Is there a theme?
Well, I don't know.
Televangelists in America? Or, you know,
no, it's just a talk show. I mean, they are interested in talking to me because according to...
media darling now.
Yeah, according to the producer... Pat Buchanan asked that I be a guest because he remembered me when he read the New Yorker article. And then he says he knew me back in the political days, and I don't remember that. But. Yeah, you've got to be very careful about giving my number out to my best friends, like Harry did.
So is that on the radio?
On Harry?
No, it's television.
And you have to have cable.
You're a little goofy this morning.
Will that be on cell phone?
Your cell phone.
Can I get it on my crystal set? There's 42B on our cable.
All right. Chapter 3 of Proverbs. We're going to talk about... No, we're going there. Is that all right?
Sure.
Can we get to the Holy Word now? Do you have any other questions? Do you know that Michael delights in making fun of me?
Well, you delight in making fun of him, so it's
mutual. It's a racial thing.
It is.
Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth or correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And the next word is something, I mean, the next verse is interesting because it's related directly to correction. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And the implication in exegesis is that it is somehow applied to not despising chastening. Or in the 23rd Psalm, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So from the standpoint of life in him, correction, something happening that you don't like, wisdom defines that as something that you delight in, not because you're a masochist, but because you understand that the outer man is decaying and the inner man is being renewed day by day by the correction. And until you know that, you'll never stop complaining. You may not say it anymore, but you will resent if something doesn't go the way you think it should. Now, the Bible calls that understanding wisdom.
I just saw where, like, that's obviously true because the inner man is not subject to time, whereas the outer man is totally subject to time.
That's right. But it's simply stated here in a way that directly connects chastisement and correction, or the rod and the staff, to wisdom. But if you, it's delighting in it is the wisdom. And that's what the point. Okay? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. Yeah, that's good. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Again, it's being fed up with dust. And we are now looking at the spirituals, plural, in order to understand this mystery, because the spirituals are, as what we're supposed to be studying, the gifts of the Spirit, are directly related to the opposite of what man thinks. So he's not going to, the spirituals aren't going to be manifest as long as wisdom is lacking. And wisdom is lacking is if you do not delight in chastisement. Do you understand this? So from God's perspective and from yours, the greatest blessing in the universe is not to get what you think you want. Do you see the conundrum? Does it really touch you somewhere so you can understand it at a deep level?
One point of understanding I'm seeing is to not try and like that in the flesh. You know, sometimes you try and conform the word to make your flesh.
Sometimes.
You know how I talk about it. Oh.
No, I agree.
Yeah, like most people, sometimes.
She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Why? Because all the things that you can desire are the snake food, dust. What?
Well, I'm thinking of different ways you can prepare dust. I got the gourmet dust.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honors. Now, I've heard that verse 15 quoted time after time after time to justify greed. Lift in her left hand riches and honor, in her right hand length of days. Can you see how your mind just totally twists everything? Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. And again, remember what we just said up here. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And now we see, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Thou shalt walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked one when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Now, let's go to John 15.
John?
Big John. The thing that has to penetrate us at a level that's so deep that we don't know about it is this thing that the rod and the staff are really your comfort. And they are the wisdom. The blessing is to have things not go the way you want them to. That doesn't compute. That's a conundrum. But it's the only, and wisdom is then that something else is going on besides what you can see and understand. Otherwise, you're going to follow your nose.
This makes me think about the time we talked about if a man invents something that does one thing well, you know, he's a success. And if he invents something that does two or maybe three things well, he's a billionaire. But when God invents something, it does
a million, infinite,
like water. And that, and the fact that if what you say is the truth isn't true in all situations at all times, it's not the truth. What you just said is the only thing that can be the truth. It's the only thing that can be true if you're in the World Trade Center. It's the only thing that can be true if you're in a concentration camp.
And what I get a kick out of is when man honors victims as being heroes. That doesn't compute. Barge goes down. They have memorials honoring the service, honoring the heroes of the people that got killed because they were a victim. There's something there, but I don't know what it is. All right. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of or from itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The branch doesn't sit there and worry about a leaf that's turning brown. Nor does the branch try to make and correct that leaf. It just abides. Now, every one of those in this, in a way of looking at the same as chastisement, for you is chastisement is when the leaf turns brown or starts to fall off or falls off. This is a great tragedy. Got to do something about it. God says, no. I am the vine. You are the branches. If there's something that's going on with the leaf, it doesn't even concern you. It's none of your business. It's just the vine and the branch doing vine stuff. So no matter what it is, and this is where we get this idea that, you know, he that loveth father or mother or wife or children more than me is not worthy of me. If you don't hate meaning you simply don't see them with those labels. It's a different thing is going on. Now this is the true definition of what the scriptures call spirituals. Is the ability to see and understand and speak to this mystery of the vine and the branches and the leaves. If he declares he is the vine and you are a branch of that vine, then the branch can do nothing of itself. It just relaxes. You got to capture this so that you can stop the incessant. And you don't really concern yourself with, well, that branch over there, that you got a leaf that's, you got an orange leaf. Somebody painted your leaf. What? It doesn't matter. It's not your business. doesn't struggle, doesn't worry about it, doesn't give it any breath. It's just a leaf that's falling off. Again, another way this is described in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other places is that if you see it, your wall cracking, just let it crack because there's a door there. But instead, you've spent a lifetime putting untempered mortar to, you know, to make the wall, so because you're not going down there. I mean, the same message is repeated over and over and over and over in a thousand ways. That leaf is just treated with the heedlessness which it deserves. The branch simply remain in, abiding in its abiding place in the trunk. There's no sweat. The old man is crucified. The outer man is decaying, is corruptible. The inner man is renewed day by day. By what? By abiding. Abiding and enduring and all those other words are the same. They're that mystery word, meno. The mansion, the place of abiding, the Seder. That's why so often in past years I've used the example of a leaf that's just blowing in the wind. It'll never stop going from place to place, here and there, until it's turned into loam. All right. My old nature is dead. I don't struggle about it. There's no, have I got some kind of habit? Am I some kind of an addict? Yeah, all addiction is addiction to self. So the first thing that has to be ignored is self. That's what the word abandon means. Abandon or deny, I mean. Deny yourself. Abandon yourself. Because all you can know of self is body and soul, and that's not your true self. I am the vine, you are the branches. Don't even mention the leaves. Leaves are the issues that you deal with.
You know, to me, drug and alcohol addiction is the extreme form of being addicted to yourself. My way of thinking is like, okay, you're addicted to yourself, but you're not using drugs and alcohol.
That's somehow okay.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Well, I mean,
worse.
That is crazy.
Okay, well, no, I'm crazy.
I mean, it's physically destructive to you, it's probably destructive to the people around you.
Right.
So the consequences are, but in spirit, there's no difference.
That's why I keep telling you over and over, there's no one thing that's going on that's more important than any other thing. And so, I mean, if you're addicted to drugs, and in your private time when you're not addicted, you run around and you're just totally consumed with ministering to yourself, then you know you're going to go back and return to drugs. Meeting your needs and getting everything the way you want it. Well, it's just because you're addicted to yourself. The drugs are just the symptom of it. Or the alcohol or whatever else it is. Any addiction. It's just a revelator of the addiction of self to the rest of the body. But, you know, the body doesn't need that lesson anymore. But it also doesn't need the lesson of being addicted to yourself, consumed with appearance or consumed with, you know. You can't have two lives. You can't have a life that's free and abandoned in the spirit and a life of self. It doesn't matter whether self is a billionaire or a king or anything else. And what you have to see is that, you know, from God's perspective, addiction to crack cocaine is no different than, you know, addiction to washing your hands or whatever it is. I mean, it's the same.
You hide your addiction, it's almost more dangerous.
It's not almost more dangerous. It's supremely more dangerous because then you are just, you can imagine the wine press of God, and you're this grape that refuses to be crushed and keeps its identity. You've done it well because you're hiding over there in a crook or a cranny of the. Now, the thing I want you to understand, though, is every one of your thoughts, every one of your ideas, every one of your emotions isn't just another leaf. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That doesn't mean we have to actively do things. It just means we have to reckon that great idea I have. It's just a stupid leaf that's seasoned to drop off, or that idea that's consuming me, or this subconscious motivation bullshit, psychobabble up the. Never mind. But it's all. They're all just leaves that are just falling off. So the idea of not giving breath to yourself, not owing your mind or your emotions anything, is what it means to abide in the vine. Because if you see that every one of your little grandiose schemes and plans and ideas and how-tos and what-ifs and even all of the subconscious crap, it's just a leaf that's going to fall off. Didn't consume you. It's not your identity. The outer man is perishing. Your ideas and thoughts and opinions are all part of the leaf structure of the outer man, still hiding behind a leaf in the garden. Mystery is abiding. Oh, no. I abide fine, and then somebody gets in my face. It's just another leaf. It isn't anything important. Well, I think I got to do this. No, it's just another leaf. I simply abide. I choose because I know that everything else is crap. So it's not really a choice. I just let him increase. He must increase, I must decrease. That's why it's not just a parable or simile, but John the Baptist had to have his head cut off before Jesus' ministry started. Same thing in you. If you have the ministry of Elijah, then you're the ministry of John the Baptist, and you have to have your head cut off before the ministry of Christ can start. And again, and we're really talking now still, we're back to the gifts of the Spirit. what the Bible calls in the Greek spirituals. and you can't abide, the spirituals, all of the gifts can be faked. But the fruit cannot be, because the fruit is the personality of Jesus Christ.
I was thinking you can't really do anything about that either. You just abide.
That's right.
You can't like make it happen.
My eyes and my being are focused only on Him, the author and the finisher of faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega.
You know, I was watching meditation. Occasionally, you know, I can do it, and none of the stuff they say affects me. But yesterday, I was watching being in Steve Brockner talking about, you know, it is new thing now, about international crusades and about all fabulous stuff that's happening, and, you know, this is a wonderful ministry, and, you know, signs and wonders and all that kind of type of stuff, you know.
You got seduced for a minute.
No, I wanted to hit Steve Brock in the head with a brick. You know, I don't know, it's just like, you know, it's just, it was like, you know, this is just bullshit, just crap, lying, fat ass, so on and so forth. Yeah, at one time, yeah, absolutely. When I hear it now.
Whenever there's a care, whenever there's the slightest bit of tension, whenever there's any anxiety, whenever there's sudden fear, or any of the other things, you just remember you're abiding in Him, and they drop off. You know that you know that you know that He that has begun the good work in you is faithful to complete it. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. We think that, well, you got, you know, we want another power, because the preaching of the cross requires us to do nothing except accept our death. Accept that our grandiose plans and ideas and opinions, I'll tell you one goddamn thing, this is how it's supposed to be. No. That's just another stupid leaf. And everything that we can conceive of is a stupid leaf. This has to settle somewhere deep within you. And you'll come to this understanding that there's no one thing more important than anything else. You live by, you know, who could want this? Who could know that the only thing that I would desire is to be crucified with Him? And that's already happened. We'll spend some more time on this. Your warfare truly, truly, truly is over. It was cosmically over the day He was crucified. Actually, it was cosmically over the day He was conceived in the... Well, next week we're studying. I mean, the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah. Any thoughts? Any response?
I find that the fruit of the understanding of this produces great rest and relaxation from the inside out. Goes down to your bowels and your most being, and you realize there is nothing to do, and that you can rest.
shapes the voice of the king.
Good. Alrighty. Let me talk. I need to talk to Pete and to John Bojo just for a minute when we get done. Take it, big guy.